This week we get Angry John. You may remember that last week we had Happy John, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and doing so out in the wilderness. We were reminded that the wilderness is a place of chaos, of danger, even of death. And our call is to proclaim that baptism of repentance, that preparation for Jesus' coming, wherever we may be placed, not where it's perfect, not where it's safe, not where it's easy, but where it might indeed be chaotic and dangerous and even life-threatening. Today we get a little more of a picture of what that repentance is to look like and how we are to change as a result of that repentant life. Now, John begins in a way that I probably never would. You know, how to win friends and influence people. He starts with, "You brood of vipers." And remember, we're not just talking about snakes or people that don't like snakes. This is the very animal that was cursed at the beginning of creation. Cursed because of its own self-centeredness. Cursed because they thought they knew more than God. Cursed because they represented rebellion against God. And Jesus turns to them and says, "You are a brood that is a family, a breeding, reproducing family of vipers." That's what he called them. Matthew actually gives us a little more specifics of this. He says that Jesus' comments were directed at the Sadducees and the Pharisees, that is, the religious leaders of the day. A little threatening for me, but clearly he saw something duplicitous, something self-serving about the way that these religious leaders functioned, that they were more concerned to circle their own power than they were to encourage a life marked by repentance and love and grace among the people. And he goes on specifically, "You claim you have Abraham for your ancestor, depending on their heritage, depending on their lineage." And that was a common thing. But even the Old Testament, properly read, reminds the people of Israel that your calling, your place as a child of Abraham, is not about being special. It is about having a responsibility, not a privilege. It is a responsibility to be a blessing to others, to shine that light around the world wherever you have opportunity. That life of repentance is to spread. We still get that in the church today, don't we? We feel like we can ride on our heritage. One of the most blatant examples of that is a Ugandan friend of ours whose uncle was a very well-known bishop in Uganda. In fact, he became very well-known here in America, traveling and preaching. His name was Festo Kivenjiri. This was back during the time when Idi Amin was president of Uganda, before, during, and after. And the Bishop Festo's niece has now become a good friend of ours. And she said in her younger days, when somebody asked her if she was saved or if she was a Christian, she would tell them, "Oh, I don't have to worry about that. When I get to heaven, I'll just tell them to go ask Uncle Festo." Well, that's not going to work. God does not have grandchildren. We are each to live that repentant life before God. It's not about our ancestry. It's not about our heritage. It's not about how long we've gone to this church or how much money we've given or what resume of stuff we can list off. It's about living a life of the grace of God, marked by that pattern of repentance. And people began to get this message that they were supposed to repent, but they weren't quite sure what they were supposed to do, and so they asked John. And first, the general crowd is recorded as saying, "What should we do?" And John said, "If anyone has two cloaks, let him share with one who has none. And if anyone has food, do likewise." Now, it's not just about cloaks and staying warm at night or about a little bit of food. It's about seeing ourselves differently. It's about seeing that we are part of one another. That I cannot have and enjoy my two cloaks if my brother or sister is left without. I cannot enjoy my bounty of food if there is another who is being left without. We are called to be such a part of one another that we share these things with one another. That we care for one another. That another's suffering becomes our suffering. Another's joy becomes our joy. We are that bound up with one another. And so that's the first mark of repentance, that we turn from selfish lives that seek to accumulate to ourselves whatever is around us, and rather turn to lives that are turned outward and seek to share and support and care for whoever God has placed within our reach, within our horizon, where we can see and reach out and make a difference. Now, in John's preaching, that's a relatively straightforward message. I doubt if his audience heard that as being particularly challenging. But then he turns to a couple of other examples, and I'm sure there were many more. I'm sure that in the course of these baptisms, John answered the same question for many other groups of people. But there are two in particular that Luke remembers and describes for us. The tax collectors and the soldiers. And the tax collectors are told to just collect what is prescribed for them to collect. And the soldiers are told, don't use your authority to extort money from anyone. Don't make false accusations. Be content with your wages. Don't try to steal more money because of your authority. Now, remember what this would sound like to John's audience. The tax collectors and the soldiers were probably the two most hated, despised people in the land. The tax collectors got their job in this way. It would generally be an Israelite, a person of the nation of Israel, who would go to the Roman government and say, if you give me charge of this area, I will collect this much tax money for you and turn it over to you. And so the best bid to the Roman government got the job, and then they would be given a small contingent of soldiers to go enforce the taxation. And anything that they were able to collect, to squeeze out of the people over and above what they had to turn over to the Romans, they got to keep. That was their profit. And so, to the Jewish people, these were traitors. These were their own people who sold them out to the accursed Romans. And then turned around and squeezed every dime they could possibly squeeze out of us for their own personal profit. And so they were hated. And then there were the soldiers. The soldiers were the enforcers, the strong arm of these invading Romans who had come in and taken over their land and their cities and their villages and their homes. So it's not hard to see how despised these people would be. Now, the average person in John's audience would have expected the advice to be, you need to quit your job. You need to quit doing that dirty thing, and you need to go do something else. But that's not what John told them. John recognized that at some level there is an appropriate role for a tax collector. Yes, there's even an appropriate role for the IRS. There is an appropriate role for a soldier who, for all practical purposes, functioned as the police of the day. There is an appropriate and necessary role for the security and safety of the people. And so John's call to them was not, you have to quit. John's call to them was, stay where you are, but do it with honesty and integrity. Don't use your position to make your life nice. Instead, see your position as an opportunity to do your necessary job and to do it honestly and in a straightforward way and in a way that doesn't take advantage of others. I've run into lots of people who come to faith in Jesus in some new way and get excited about their faith, and they seem to think that if they're really going to repent of their past life and be a follower of Jesus, they need to, you know, jump on a plane and go to Calcutta and serve the poor like Mother Teresa did, or go to Africa, or go to Brazil, or wherever you fill in the blank. That somehow we have to drop absolutely everything and go off to some other place to live a life of repentance. But John wants to remind us that repentance begins right where we are. It doesn't mean that we drop all of this and run and do all of that. Sometimes it just means that we start doing this differently. It's actually much more challenging. It's much more difficult to change the way all those relationships work. Imagine that soldier who is dependent on being able to extort a bunch of money from people as the way that he could be comfortable and take care of his family. And now all of a sudden he's got to go home and explain to his family, you know what? We're going to have to adjust our lifestyle now to live according to my wages. Just by what I get paid. I'm going to stop taking more money than I deserve. And then to deal with that same conversation with all the other soldiers. Because then he becomes a threat to the other soldiers and all the scams that they've got going. Or imagine the tax collector who sits down with his other tax collector buddies. And he's just collecting what he's supposed to collect. And not trying to squeeze them like a bad lemon, to get a little more out of them. And all of a sudden, that makes all the other tax collectors look bad, and they don't know how to relate to this guy. And the other friends and neighbors, they still don't know how to relate to him because he's still kind of tied in with those Romans. It would have been much easier for them just to pick up and leave and go to another place and start over again. And sometimes that's true for us, too. It's much more challenging to change the way that we live this life right here, right now. And to change into a life that is marked by integrity and honesty and the grace and love and service of God. And that's what John is calling these people to do. You see, they're not to stay out in the wilderness. They're not to stay out by the River Jordan enjoying this wonderful change of pace. They are to go back to their responsibilities, to their normal course of life, and figure out how to live a God-honoring life in that place. That's where repentance begins. Now, yes, some may be called to go to India or wherever it might be. Some may be called to leave a job and go do something different. Some may be called to make more dramatic changes to their lives. But we begin right where we are. That's where that change has to take place. If we are to live lives marked by repentance, it begins at home. It begins right where we live, right here and now. Living a life that is marked by the honesty and integrity and standards of God. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It begins right where we are. Amen.